the one who died for the sins of the world. The Bible says in Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Thank God the Lord didn't spare our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did die, and he rose from the grave. And I appreciate the musical program tonight. It's been a real blessing to my heart. Trust yours as well. Well, take your Bible now, please, and go to Luke chapter 5, if you will. Luke chapter 5 this evening. We are bringing a message about going fishing tonight. Okay? How many of y'all like to go fishing? Would you raise your hand? And, wonderful. You got a good church, brother. Yeah. And but spiritually tonight, we're going to look at an event in the Bible about men who went fishing. And profound, wonderful truth for all of us from this passage this evening. Okay? I want you all to stand right now, Luke chapter 5. And when you look at verse 4 and 5. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we are grateful tonight for the wonderful music we've just experienced. Thank you, Lord, that we can exalt the Lamb, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the young lady who followed you in baptism. I pray you put your hand upon her life, that God, you would use her, and her life might be a testimony to her family and to others that she knows. Help us all, Lord, to realize how important it is that we manifest our Savior. Now, God, in this message, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. May be seated. In Luke 5, we had the account of men who went fishing all night. And the first thing I want to observe is the conflict that they encountered. They said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, I can relate to that. In West Virginia, my brothers and I would go fishing all night. And I'll never forget, one night, we were fishing for carp. Don't you knock my carp, you hear me? Now, in certain parts of the world, carp is a delicacy, and my people from Russia, and they knew how to fix it, honestly. It was absolutely delicious. And but you use a certain bait to catch carp. And I hate to give this recipe to you, but I'm going to give it to you if you're brave enough to go fishing for carp. You take 2 cups of flour, 1 cup of yellow cornmeal, a tablespoon of sugar, a few drops of vanilla extract, and you put that in a bowl and you moisten it, and then you work it where it gets nice and gooey. Then you put it into a cloth, tie it up, boil it in water for 45 minutes. When it cools, what you do, you begin to work it. Then you make another second batch. And finally, you got a ball about this big around. And then you go fishing for this carp. And no exaggeration. I'm telling you, congregation, we caught carp this long. I mean, no exaggeration, that long. Tear your pole apart. They really were fantastic fishing. And so one night, my brother Mike went, and I went fishing all night. The problem was, we took no food with us. Now, as a teenager, I had a voracious appetite. As a young man, my mother made homemade bread. Not this sissy bread they make today. I'm talking about homemade bread that you work, you know, you need it. And my mother made homemade, and it's very solid bread. And the loaves are about that big, okay? And my mother, she'd make the bread. I'd come home from high school as a teenager. I would take the butcher knife. I'd cut the loaf right in half. Pick up one side, and this is a proper way of eating a whole loaf of bread. You put butter on one side, then you put butter on the other side, and then you eat the middle out first, then you eat that side of the crust, then you eat the middle out, and then eat the crust, and then you get ready for supper, all right? And I would do that. I honestly would do that. Well, my brother Mike, when I would go fishing, it seemed like we never took any food with us. And one night, we're fishing all night for carp. And I mean, I was starving. Around 4 o'clock in the morning, By the way, has your stomach ever growled so loud? You try to pull it in, you try to push it out, shut the thing down, you know, and my stomach's growling. My brother Mike, his stomach is growling. 4 o'clock morning, I turned to my brother. I said, Mike, I'm starving. He said, Jerry, I'm starving. I said, Mike, let's eat the dough ball. He said, Jerry, let's do it. Forget about fishing, man. We ate the whole ball of dough ball. We did. Another night, we were fishing for catfish. And by the way, catfish is a real delicacy in West Virginia. It's also a delicacy in South Carolina. And shame on you people up here if you all don't like catfish. All right? And all night, we're fishing for catfish. Again, we took no food with us. And that night, we were starving. And that night, we're fishing with night crawlers. And so, I'm telling you, congregation, my stomach's growling so loudly. I turn to Mike. I said, Mike, I'm starving. He said, Jerry, I'm starving. I said, Mike, let's eat the night crawlers. He said, Jerry, let's do it. And we took the night crawlers. No, we did not do that. But I tell you one thing, I know what it means to go fishing all night and not get a single bite. Now, these men had fished all night and they had not caught anything. There was a conflict. In the spiritual realm, there's a greater conflict. You go out, you invite people to God's house, and you invite individuals to come. And it seems like there's always this conflict that you encounter. Why is that so, congregation? I'll tell you why. We're in a great spiritual battle. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Zechariah 3:1, and it shall be Joshua, the high priest, standing for the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you. Even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. We are in a spiritual battle against the unseen forces of evil. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'll tell you what, congregation, there's always a conflict that we will encounter as we endeavor to bring people to Jesus Christ. But second of all, I want you to observe the challenge that Christ gave. In verse 5, Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Look here, congregation. There's a challenge that Christ gives you. That challenge is for you teenagers, for you college students, and you adults, to launch out into the deep and tell others about Christ. The Bible tells you, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's Matthew 28:19. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Psalm 126:6. And so, we find that Christ gives us a challenge. But I'll tell you what, when Christ gave the challenge, Peter, this professional fisherman, by the way, have you ever fished with someone who's a professional? I have. I was fishing in the state of Minnesota with a man who was a professional fisherman. Now, I have fished all my life, but I will not classify myself with this individual, okay? And I'll tell you, it's amazing to fish with a man who is professional. These disciples, these men were professional fishermen. This was their livelihood. They knew fishing like the back side of your hand. The best time for fishing was night. That's why they said, we have toiled all the night. You never fish in the morning in Bible times. They would clean their net. They would mend their net in the morning. They fished all night. That was the ideal time for fishing. And yet Christ said, in the morning, launch out into the deep and let down the net for drafts. And these men said, nevertheless of thy word, I will let down the nets. Here's my observation. You cannot force anyone to open their mouth and tell others about Jesus Christ. However, when a person is in love with a Savior, he cannot be silent. Have you ever noticed a young girl when she's engaged? Huh? Have you noticed when she gets that engagement ring? Now, I cannot imitate a lady, of course, but I want kind of try to do the best I can, all right, and be manly about it. A girl, when she gets engaged, her eyes almost just brighten. They sparkle. They really do. And she got that ring on her finger, and what does she do? She does this. And she wants everyone to see that ring, correct? What about the young man? He's sick. He's a sight for sore eyes. He's slobbering all over himself as he's using all these words to express that deep love he has for that girl. Why? Because he's in love and she's in love. You know what, congregation? When a person's in love with the Savior, he cannot be silent. Peter was in love with the Lord and said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets." And when he did, I want you to observe the catch. Look at verse 5, the next two verses, please. The word of God says in verse 6, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto the partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they filled both ships, so that they both began to sink." Now look here, please. My daughter Jennifer says, "I have a boy's mind trapped in a man's body. I do have a wild imagination. It still runs awful wild, okay? Now I want to share what I see in my mind. When the Lord said, launch on the deep, let down the nets for the draft, Simon Peter, they lower the net in the water. Then they go to pull the net up. And when they begin to pull the net up, the entire ship begins to bend and go forward toward the water. And they looked in the net, and there's all this fish. So heavy that Peter said to the other boat, 'Come on over here, help us out.' And they came, and they took all of the fish out of that one net, filled both ships." Well, the word of God says they both began to sink. You know what, congregation? The catch was tremendous. It was enormous. You know, so often people say, "You know, Brother Jerry, it's so difficult to see people sick." Yes, it is. But it's wonderful when you see the catch. Many years ago, I had a revival meeting in Tipton, Indiana. And one evening, the pastor and his wife, my wife, myself, went to a home for a lovely meal. And at the close of the meal, pastor said, "Now, Brother Jerry, your wife and my wife will go back to church. You and I are going to go to the hospital and visit a man." I said, "Great, I'll do that." And so we are on the way to the hospital. And while we're going there, the pastor said, "You know, Jerry, we have visited this man 150 times. He said, "I'm not exaggerating. We have visited this man over 150 times. And all of a sudden, as he's talking to me about this man who's so hardened and all these visits, he said, "You know what, Jerry? It's getting late. I don't think we'll go." I said, "No, Pastor. We're almost there." He said, "No." I said, No, let's go. We're almost there." He said, "Okay, let's go." The man's name was Mr. Hall. I walked in the man's room with Pastor, and Pastor said, "Mr. Hall, this is Jerry Savinsky." Mr. Hall looked at me, and I said, "Hello." He said, "Hello to me." And so we began to talk. Now, I don't know why I did this. I just said to him, I try to find out some interest of people, you know, and I felt prompted. The Lord said, "Mr. Hall, do you like to hunt?" Well, the guy, his eyes opened. Why? He said, "Well, yes, I do." Like, "Well, how'd you know?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I love hunting, and I've hunted all my life." I said, "I was raised on wild meat. That's all we lived on, was wild meat." He said, "You did?" I said, "Yeah." And then I said, no, hunting, I said, "I love the fish." And when I said that, the guy sat up in bed. "You like the fish?" I said, "Yes, sir, let me tell you something. We fished every famous place in West Virginia." And I did, by the way. My dad was a great fisherman. And so we start talking about fishing. And finally I said, now, Mr. Hall, I've got to go. I've got to preach pretty soon. But before I go, would you mind if I ask you a question? He said, no, what would that be? I said, Mr. Hall, have you ever thought of where you are going to spend eternity? He looked at me and he said these exact words. You know, it's a funny thing you asked me that question. I said, why, Mr. Hall? He said, I've been thinking about it all day long. All day long. I said, really? He said, yes, really. I said, Mr. Hall, would you mind if I took the Bible and showed you something? He said, I wouldn't mind that at all. Took the Word of God, sat down beside Mr. Hall. I began to show this man how Christ died on the cross for his sins, how Christ could save him and give him everlasting life. And I said, now, Mr. Hall, you know, you've been very kind. Let me talk with you. And I said, I can't leave without asking you this question. Would you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know what the man said to me? He said, Jerry, I know I should have done it a long time ago. Yes. Oh, when Christ has saved me. He bowed his head. He prayed. He invited Christ to save him. When he got through praying, I looked at the pastor, and I'll never forget this. The pastor sat there looking at me, and he went like this. Just shaking his head back and forward. We got in the car. He said, Jerry, I've been rebuked. I've been rebuked by God. Here, I didn't want to come tonight. We visited over 150 times. And you asked that question. He said, I've been thinking about it all day long. He said, Jerry, I have been rebuked. I got to church that night. And before I preached, I said, you know, congregation, I just came from the hospital. And I led Mr. Hall to Jesus Christ. And when I did, unknown to me, his two sisters were there. And they both burst out weeping. I mean, it was such a touching scene. Both of them just wept out loud. They had prayed for years for their brother to be saved. Well, I preached the Word of God that night. I gave the invitation. And you know what? There were a couple of teenagers that raised their hand for salvation. Other adults raised their hand, but there were two girls who were sitting in front of my daughter, Jennifer, at the time. She was 16 years of age. And I can't force anyone come down the aisle. I can't force you come to Christ. You've got a decision to make that no one can make you make. You've got to do it on your own. And so when the invitation was over, my daughter Jennifer heard the girls talking. And Jennifer said to the girls, because she's right behind them, she said, well look, girls, you wanted to go forward, didn't you? Yeah, we wanted to. We're just so shy. And Jennifer said, well, would you want me to take the Bible and show you how you could be saved? They said, yes, we'd like to do that. My daughter Jennifer led those two teenage girls to Christ. You know what? It was snowing that night. Jennifer, my daughter, we start walking outside. I had Jennifer by the hand, walking through the snow. I said, hey, Jennifer, what a great night. I led Mr. Hall to Christ, and you got to lead these two girls to Christ. She said, Dad, it's a great night. That's very special to me. Very special. You know why? I want my children to have a heart for reaching souls for Christ. You know what this evening? The cats can be tremendous. You know what this evening? It'd be great for God to use you. Realizing you are going to face a conflict as you endeavor to bring the unsaved to Christ. How much do you love the Savior? Do you fear the face of man more than you fear the face of your loving Savior? And child of God, God can do that. God can do the unusual. And know what Christ said to these men? When they saw the brokenness of Peter and the disciples, we find the coronation note to this whole message. Look in verse 10, please, if you will, latter part of verse 10. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here's a coronation. Christ said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And the word of God suddenly got to shore. These professional fishermen, they forsook everything, the boat, the nets, all the equipment, and they followed him. When I was 17 years of age, and I began to go soul winning as a teenager, thank God that a man took me. A coal miner took me soul winning. And through that, God called me to preach. But I had a wonderful truck. Every man loves his truck, and I had my truck. I love my truck. Beautiful white truck, black running. Oh, don't get me started, please, on my truck. I love that truck. And through that, going out soul winning and with that truck, God coming to preach. And I get ready to go to college. And when I did, I said to my dad one day in the kitchen, I said, hey, Dad, come here. My dad said, what is it, Jerry? I said, come here, Dad. And I want you to put your hand out like this. And my dad said, okay, Jerry. So my dad went like that. I took the keys of my truck, dropped it in his hands. I said, it's yours, Dad. What'd you do there, Jerry? You know what? I didn't want anything to hinder me in preparation. I didn't want anything to hinder me in preparation for the ministry. Nothing wrong with the truck. I have a truck, okay? I travel in a truck. I love a truck. But that time, I knew that truck had to be in my life. I didn't want anything to hinder me in preparation to go out and be able to tell people about Christ and see souls saved. They forsook all. You know, I've often said this because I heard a great man of God say this. It's not me. I did not say this. A great man of God, Dr. Lee Robertson, who's now in heaven, made the statements. One soul saved is worth more than a world made out of solid gold. You cannot put a price on the soul of a man. Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so I tell you what, it's worth the effort of a lifetime for you to be a fisher of men, to turn people to Christ who can save them and give them life everlasting. And if you are not saved, don't know him. You've got friends who brought you in life. You know why? Because they love you if you're here. They would love to see you saved, but no one can force you, man. No one can force you, lady. But thank God there's a Savior who would love to save you. Come to Christ while you've got the opportunity. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Tonight, I'm going to have our pianist play a song. Would you play Rescue the Perishing for me? Okay, Rescue the Perishing. And while you're getting ready for that song, and we're going to sing that tonight, so find me the page number 2, okay? While he's getting ready for that with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. You know, congregation, I always face conflicts when I go soul winning, but I still go. Why? I love my Lord. I love him. It's not easy. I want to let down the net in my life. I always do. I want to be able to tell folk about the Savior. God has to do the saving. I cannot do the saving. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:7, God to give the increase. God is the one who can save a man by the power of the Holy Spirit through our Savior, the message of Christ. You say, you know, Jerry, tonight, I don't tell people about Christ. I've been challenged. I love the Lord. I do love him. But I've been silent. My voice does not express this love for him. I want you to pray for God to work in my life. If that's so, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as he starts playing Rescue the Perishing, please. Say, Brother Jerry, include me in that prayer. There's someone I want God to help me to tell about the Savior. Would you raise your hand to your Lord and voice that, not to me, but to your Lord, and by the raised hand, you're voicing, hey, Lord, I want you to know, I want to be used of you. All right, God bless you. As soon as you raise your hand, God bless you. Others of you, all right, the Lord bless you. With those who've already raised their hand, others, all right, the Lord bless you. With these who've raised their hand, anyone else, I cannot beg you. This has got to be from the heart. Anyone else before I close? All right, God bless you. God bless you. Lord bless you guys. God bless you, young people. God bless you. Perhaps you said, Jerry, I'm not saved. I know there's people that love me, and they encourage me to come to Christ. I've not been saved yet. And I realize tonight, I need to come to Christ. I need to be saved. Anyone like that, would you voice that by the raised hand and put your hand down before I close? The last time I'll ask. Our dear Father, we ask you to take the authority of thy word for the many who raise their hand with the contacts they have, Lord, these loved ones. Lord, I pray that their love will be expressed in such a fashion that their lives of these ones will be touched and they'll come to Christ. Know our blessed Savior. Help those who don't know you, Lord, to come to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.